Hey, this is Ashley from Smoker Builder. You're listening to the Smoker Builder podcast.
Anybody that don't know, this is Dale Fort, and if you want to just tell a little bit about yourself, just kind of what you do, and don't you work for Chick?
Yeah, so I'm a operations manager for Chicken Salad Chick. It's a franchisee that I work for. We're about to open our 10th store in Phenix City, Alabama, at February the 6th. But we've got stores in Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and Kentucky. Joined them in 2015 with Chicken Salad Chick. So kind of got there at the beginning of it. As far as my barbecue background, my brother and I have been competing probably since the mid-2000s. I think that's when we started a local competition down in mid-Georgia. It did KCBS, it did GBA. But now it's just a backyard event that they have going on now. But we did that for a while, and then we grew up and got a little more serious about cooking and all. And I just kind of went on a separate way with I always wanted to cook on drums. And then I found Frank probably right before or right in the beginning of COVID with the Draftmaster that he had. And I loved it. I wanted one so bad, but it just didn't work out for me to get it then. I'm glad it didn't in the long run, because now I've got four Super 55s, well, five actually. I love them. I love cooking on them. I do hot and fast, everything that I pretty much do. And it's
Are most of your drones just oil seasoned?
Yeah, I've got. They're all the linseed oil. I do have a couple that I heated up to begin with a weed burner.
Propane torch,
Yeah, just heated them up, and I sprayed them down with like just a pan spray out of a can. They actually look the best, to be honest with you. They got a very dark patina on them. They look the best. And then I had one that I was cooking on that was just a rust bucket. It was just complete rust, and that was it.
So let me ask you something. Do you keep yours outside, or do you keep them in the garage or like a trailer?
Well, I keep them in the garage, but I do have a trailer. I do have a trailer that I'm currently outfitting and working on that. So the drums are in the garage, but the wife wants them out of that so she can park in the garage.
Yeah, the reason I was wondering is because I told you it rained like crazy yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. So I keep my stuff stays outside. So anyways, so mine had a like maybe 2 inches of water inside of it. And I was like, how the hell did water get in there? Because, the lid's on there really tight. And I'm thinking, I wonder if it seeped under the exhaust panel, because or whatever you call it, valve, or because it's not super tight. I have it to where like when you lift the lid it actually swings open, so I was thinking maybe I wonder if I have to tighten that up a little bit so water, but I mean I had like 2 inches. I had to take it all apart today and to drain the water out, because I had the baffle plate, the everything in it, and I was like, oh shit, there's water, and I didn't want it to rust. So I was curious whether you've had that experience before, but that's the first time it's rained since I've had mine, so I'll have to figure it out.
Did you seal the exhaust?
Yes, actually, this Saturday, I took everything apart and I siliconed the exhaust and the bolts for the grate, because they started seeping. Because I cooked a pork butt last Saturday or Friday night, or was it Friday? Anyways, last week. And it started seeping from the bolts. And then when I would open the lid to check it, I guess it would pull up underneath the exhaust and it would kind of smear out of the backside towards the hinge. So anyway, so I took it all apart and I siliconed it. So, but I haven't used it since then. But anyways, I'm hoping that fixed it.
Yeah, I've just gotten some grease coming out of the intakes, assuming it's just going down the hole and getting in there and coming out, and I would imagine that over time that might be an issue, mm-hmm. way they're set up, but we shall see.
Yeah. And whenever you did that grand champion, you got your second cook, you got that first place in chicken and second in ribs and fifth in pork, it looked like on your webpage there. So how did you feel about winning that first place in chicken?
That was
back in 21.
I think it was wings. I think it was chicken wings, right?
What? It said chicken, so I wasn't clarify whether it was chicken wings or chicken, whole chicken or what.
I think it was, and if it's the one that I'm thinking of, it's we do it, the chicken's an ancillary, and the organization that we cook in is just it's ribs and butts, and then ancillary would be either chicken wings or dessert or anything that they choose. But the wings, I'm thinking that's what it is. The wings were spot on, and I tell you, I did very similar to I can't think of the guy's name off of the barbecue league, but it's the kind of like the hippie guy that's on there. I think he's called No Shoes or Barefoot or something. But it's his. It's basically the way he runs his legs, and I did the wings like that too. So it's like a 4-hour burn. Do what?
I know that one when we were doing the chicken competition, you got that 180 turn in box. Those were like perfect.
Yeah. So that was my second KCBS event cooking by myself. And that was in Gaston, Alabama. And that was in 23. And then in 22, that was my first one that I cooked by myself. And, I bombed chicken, and I had I think an eighth in butts, a fourth in ribs, and a first in brisket, and those were cooked on the 55, the Super 55, and the help that Frank gave me with starting out on the drums is what I built those drums that I cooked on. So I was excited. That was the most exciting thing about it is that I built the drums, I did it, yeah. And then I went and cooked, and they performed.
Yeah. Did really well. What would you say you actually got into barbecue, and then how did you get into competitions? What actually led you to want to compete? And
we got into it because it was a party. that's what we started out of doing. It was a get together for all of us to have a reason to have a 2-day party at a competition and all. But I would say early 2012, 2013 was probably when we got serious into cooking and wanting to progress and develop what we were doing. Right. And that was in the GBA. My brother's a member of the GBA, and I cooked with him in that. And that's where it all started with us was cooking that. And that's pork ribs, butts, and loin. And he went and took some classes. I've never taken a class, but he went and took a Rescue Smokers, Robbie Warrior class. Yeah. And then he went and did Myron's class as well. So he did all that, and then I kind of just piggybacked off of him and the knowledge that he got and applied it to how I cook now. So
is that why I was going to say, is that why you use that mix in pellet grill?
Yeah, we borrowed it.
Oh, you borrowed it. Okay. Yeah,
we borrowed it. So David Mixon is Myron's son, and he runs, I guess, the business on the back end of the grills and the sauces and seasons and all. And David lets us borrow that for the pig jig in Vienna, Georgia, the big pig jig in Vienna, Georgia.
Yeah.
But we did that, and we last year we cooked on here. I think that one that we cooked on was a 3600 this past year, and some Super 55s that we cooked on too. We didn't do whole hog this year, but last year in 22 we did all three, and we had a fourth in butts, and we final rib, and we cooked everything on the Myron Mixon pellet smoker.
Any particular pellets that you use? Any particular style of pellets, flavors, or?
We use their Orchard Blend, the Meyer Mixed Orchard Blend. That's what we use.
So you use everything of his.
Yeah, we used his peach injection was in there. And then his original, and then a little bit of other stuff.
Yeah, I can't tell everything.
The secret.
I don't care. I mean, it was Blue Hog stuff, the Blue Hog stuff, and the Meyer Mixed product.
Yeah. So did you get sponsored by that good charcoal as well, or is that something that you just use a lot of?
I was using a lot of it, and I don't know if it was the good charcoal, if it was Royal Oak or who, but I was at a competition and I had a drum that was putting off a chemical burn smell, and actually that's been going on for quite some time. And I wouldn't even cook in the drum because I thought it was something that I'd use on the inside of it. And it was one of the drums I got from Frank. But I ended up cleaning everything out, and I had a piece of asphalt in my basket that was probably about the size of both my fists put together. And that's what it was. It came out of a bag of charcoal.
Yeah, I believe it.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the good charcoal, the Royal Oak or who, but that's the only two that I use.
Would you say your, as far as seasonings, I know I've seen some Heath Riles stuff. We talked about the pecan rub, which I got some, I like that too, but is that your go-to rubs, or do you have a particular?
I really like the Bold and Beefy, the Blue Hog Bold and Beefy, and they're sweet and savory. And then Heath Riles jalapeno garlic and his pecan.
Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff. And when you say you cook hot and fast, you know, I know, like, because I've taken the Myron classes, and his can go up to 350 in temp. How high do you cook?
I think at the Royal this year, we had one of the drums creeping up on 400 at one point, and that might have been the problem with one of the turn-ins. 400. I'm in the neighborhood of 325 is what I try and do. And I don't cook with baffles. It is just, and that might be my problem with that temp kind of getting away from me. But that's just how I cook. But
yeah. Your wood chunks, do you like cherry, pecan, or what do you use?
You know, I'll go either cherry or nothing at all.
Okay.
I've done fine with nothing, and I've done well with cherry. And I might throw some hickory on a brisket, on the beef.
That's interesting. That's pretty good. Now, when you trim your briskets, do you, you know, again, it's got to always go back to Meyer because that's where I learned. Do you do the light trimming as he does, or do you trim it down really fine?
No, so during COVID, he put out those live videos that he did, right. And I took a lot from Myron's process with the brisket, and I took a lot with what's his name? I can't think of his name. Well, he's on the barbecue league that he did the brisket trim. He's a heavy smoke. I can't think of his name. But I do a trim like that.
Somebody named Chris
Schaefer. Chris Schaefer. It's a heavy trim. I mean, my brisket can fit. I've got a caddy from the barbecue bus that I put it in, and I just go flat. But I cooked those brisket. I cooked the burnt ends with my vegetable turn in the other day, and they were. I don't know if they would have done good in a competition, but. They were good.
How many comps do you try to do a year?
I only cook about four or five, probably a year. That's about it.
So you kind of stay in the Georgia area for the most part?
I cook one in Alabama that we start this. So this year will be my third year cooking it. Just mainly Georgia.
Yeah.
I don't go too far out. Then we might cook the Royal this year. I don't know. It's the the end of October's Halloween. So I don't know. I don't know if Frank's going to go this year or not.
Which one is that Moultrie Moose Lodge event that you did in February of last year?
That was the organization is called Middle and South Georgia Barbecue. It's a guy that's put on something that crazy stuff planned this year. it's a guy that's put on something that is it's financially easier to compete with. I mean, he's doing just ribs and butts.
Yeah.
It's a $200 entry into that, and he pays out 100% of the money. And it's nice for that. And we'll have 10 to 12 to 15 teams competing in that. So it can get fun, but that one was that Moultrie was that. It was ribs and butts, and I didn't cook chicken. That was the ancillary on that event, but my son and I and my dad was there that weekend. And we did fairly well.
Yeah, you posted that first place in the pork butt, right?
First in pork and third in ribs.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite meat to cook?
My favorite meat to cook is flank and ribs, the beef flank and ribs.
Ah. What's your what do you hate cooking the most?
Chicken.
A lot of work.
No, I've chicken salad. Yeah, I hate chicken salad. I love chicken salad. That's what makes me be able to go do it.
I hear you, man. I had some the other day. It is good. It is good.
No, but I've gotten some pointers and some tips on the chicken, and it's just a mind game on all that, I believe, as well. It's just executing it and doing it. So.
Do you still do GBA stuff?
No, I'm not a member of the GBA, but I cook with my brother on the GBA. I help him on that. But they like drums too, and they found out they like food that comes off the drums.
I know that's a lot of things. I'm trying to think of the questions people knew where I was going to be talking to. They wanted to know. For a guy that was, say, Ace Hardware was going to have a backyard, you know, weekend event compared to the let's get really serious, what tips would you give somebody that wants to do a backyard? And then what tips if somebody's wanting to get really serious with it?
The backyard, I would say, I don't know, I kind of go into it the same mentality on backyard or going into serious. I'm cooked the same way, one way or the other, pretty much. But the backyard is going to, and I have a problem with this. I don't do it enough at competitions is go talk to people. Just go introduce yourself and see how much they will talk to you about what they do. And they will, but you just got to ask. Chicken, exactly. And if there's not, if it's just backyard cooks there, I mean, same thing. I mean, what I compete with on a normal basis is we're all backyard cooks. We don't do this we don't go cook KCBS competitions every weekend or GBA is, and we go do the same thing. We just go talk to each other and have fun. That's the biggest part of it on the backyard is having fun and not getting discouraged when the results aren't there that you thought you had, but talking to the organizer and seeing if you can talk to the judges and get their input as well.
Do you do pre-runs at your house?
Do I do what?
Pre-run before you go to comp or not really?
I don't practice what I cook at a comp.
Oh, okay.
I cook at the house, but. I more have fun at the house than I do when I go cook at the competitions.
So this is Sarah's my daughter. So she has interest in competition. Like, you know, last week I was talking with Richard about when we got to go down to Myers, you know, seeing, you know, that's more of a competition learn, but we just went for just to learn how to cook barbecue. It's kind of like when I got interested in it and, I met up with a guy that, you know, was like, and down in South Georgia, you want to just come and see what it's like at Hazelhurst, Georgia, down there near Waycross. Yeah, yeah. So we went to one of the comps, and that's when Michael had the new Jack South when he's kind of broke, trying to do his own thing. He was a lot younger, but I was, you know, there with the one team, but, you know, I'd never been, so I was walking around everywhere, and that's what I was telling them, Richard, that's my experience, was it was turn-in time, and I wound up in their tent wanting to see what they were, got ran out.
I bet.
You don't go in somebody's tent. I didn't know that. I learned the hard way, but it was fun. I mean, afterwards, it was a laugh, but I didn't realize how much pressure and, like, intensity people put into that stuff until, you know, you see it up close, and I mean, it's some really tedious stuff that they go through.
It is, that's for sure. And it's one of the things I have a hard time doing as well is not staying focused on time and kind of get off the sidetracked on what I'm doing. And I've almost missed some turn-ins by that. My dad will get in there and just start talking, and we'll start, you know,
excuse me.
having fun and reminiscing on things. And look, and there's 2 minutes left, and we haven't even started.
It's so. Like run into the jet, turn it down.
Yeah, it's fun.
So teams that, you know, you compete against, who do you have a favorite team that you'd like to try to beat, or a team that you, oh, why are they here this week?
I would say that my the one that I like the best is it was in Gadsden in 2022. I watched the Barbecue League religiously for about 4 months. I watched all their live competitions that they did. I watched all of their tell-alls, and I just put together my timeline. And basically off of what they were doing. And I compiled it over about 5 or 6 videos that they did on their live at competitions. And that was the year that Barbecue USA was in Gadsden. And that field was stacked with people on that show, mm-hmm. to get on that show. And we had a really good cook. We had a rib call. We had a butts call, and we got into brisket. And I told my wife, I was like, I don't know what a comp brisket tastes like, really, but ours was good. And if I win this, then I'm gonna go over there and I'm gonna get my picture taken with Michael Simon and do all that. And it got to second place, and they called getting basted. And I was like, well, there's no way, you know, there's no way that I'm going to, you know, win first place, you know, getting basted, already at second and whatnot. And they called my name for first place brisket. And honestly, that was my first Wagyu brisket that I ever cooked. And it was the first time I'd ever cooked a recipe that I cooked. So as far as that, I mean, it was cool to be up there with a chicken fried, a getting basted, an LC barbecue. And all of them. So that was a very high moment in my barbecue career that I did. So I was excited, very excited.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Celebrated that night. So
we had to- yeah.
What's even the name of you? What's your team name?
So my team name is Barbecutery. It's a take on charcuterie.
Okay.
With the barbecue in there. Barbecue board.
Okay.
As much.
I know another one that's especially, you know, we're doing the throwdowns, and the new one is pork steak. Now, when I was talking with Frank, I was like, what are some things I should put out for people to pick? And he was like, well, you know, him and Aaron were in the truck, and they were like, put pork steak. And I was like, I'm not going to say, I don't know what pork steak is. I don't know what it is. So I was like, this is a perfect out, because I've seen a lot of people, like, I'm going to have to go Google this, and they're still, see if you can break down what a pork steak is, so when everybody has somewhat of an idea of what they're cooking.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We went and actually cooked the When Pigs Fly in Cape Girardeau Girardeau, Missouri last year. We didn't cook it this year, but we went out there and it was pork loin and pork steak that we had to do turn-ins on. They didn't like our pork steaks. South Georgia people do not know how to cook pork steak, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to learn. A lot of people don't, like I said, don't have a clue. What are they?
Yeah, well, it's just pork, butt sliced in steak forms, like a pork chop. Like you take a boneless pork butt, or I guess you can get a bone one, but boneless is easier to trim into steaks, like big pork chop steaks. And they cook real fast. I mean, honestly, you can cook one in like maybe an hour and a half at the most sometimes. Depends on how hot you do it. And then some people wrap them in foil to get them really like fall apart tender. If you like it that tender. And so I've seen it done that way too, to where they're like literally falling apart if you put them in foil for like an hour extra in the after you cook it with some butter or any kind of liquid in it. And they usually come really tender, but it just depends on how, you know, if you want shredded meat or like eat it like a pork chop kind of meat. But that's all it is. It's just pork, but cut into slices like a pork chop.
Yeah, I was seeing forms yesterday. I was looking at Aaron. He just basically grills his, and then you know other people were like what you just said, smoking them for a good while and filling them up and to whatever tenderness you want.
Yeah. Cause usually I cook them at home, I cook them for like an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, and I'll eat them that way.
I'm with Aaron on it. Just keep flipping them and do that. That's I like it that way.
Let's see. Frank's talking of something. Let's see what Frank's got to say here.
But they do come out pretty good, though. Actually, Chud, he has a good recipe. He's cooked them several times on his channel.
You see what Frank said? He's going to school everybody. Everybody's got to compete against Frank on this one.
That's like y'all steak dish, steak meat to cook, right? It's Missouri's.
Man. Would you say
Frank was supposed to come out? He couldn't get out there that weekend that we're down there. But he was on time.
So you've never had Frank's steak?
I've had Frank's tacos with that Ozark Valley Wagyu beef, and they were spot on. They were good.
So Frank, Danny's got a good one. I will actually be judging. So Frank can't win. So would you say, are you a sauce type guy? I know that's what they were asking me last week, and I was like, I love sauce on my stuff, on everything. Are you?
No, I'm not a huge sauce fan. Frank. Yeah, it's maple syrup. it's a lot of that in the wrap process.
You like Richard, or you don't like the sauce?
No, I don't use a whole lot, but I mean, I do use it occasionally. But like I was telling him last week, is even on chicken, I'll sauce my chicken, but I end up pulling the skin off and I won't even eat the skin that has the sauce on it. So it's kind of weird.
If I'm going to eat, I don't eat a lot of pork, pulled pork. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like actually the way I cook it. I'd rather go low and slow on the pork butt and eat it that way. And I'm not so much a fan of the hot and fast if I'm going to sit and eat. But the ribs, on the other hand, I am a fan of the hot and fast. It gets that action of the grilling and the smoking as well. But I'll wrap them, but then I'll take them out and throw them back on the smoker.
Do you rotate every 30 minutes, or are you just leaving them in one spot the whole time?
If I remember, I'll rotate them.
Rotate. Okay. I'm just curious because I know you say you don't use a baffle plate, and not so much with the pork ribs, but I've had actually my charcoal turn off because I had too many chicken thighs on it on my grate, and my fire went out because it was greasing up the fire too much. It put it out to the point that I was like, oh my God, I put my fire out with the grease from the chicken. So
that's funny. Frank's got this whole video out not too long ago about talking about that. Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't an inferno when you open the lid on grease. Yeah. But I don't fill up the grate with ribs. I might cook 4 slabs of ribs on a grate and that's it. And they're cut down to 8-9 bones. So they're small.
Yeah.
And I'll rotate them. And I just watch the smoke coming out too. So if it starts getting, starts clouding up, they can turn. You can spin that grate and get it off. And we're
so you don't hang whatsoever then, your ribs.
I haven't started hanging yet.
Oh, okay.
I might be starting to hang ribs very soon.
Yeah. I've done it on my pit barrel and on my Oklahoma Joe drum, but honestly, surprisingly, you don't burn the tips off like everybody thinks you do. For whatever reason, they don't really burn like you think they would. I've right. even hung fajita meat just to hang it, just to try it out. I've hung fajita meat in the pit barrel before, and it came out good. Obviously, chicken a lot. I've hung chicken, sausage, everything. Chicken thighs.
Hanging chicken thighs?
Yeah. Nice. There's an accessory that you actually, it's a corn accessory to hang corn in. And you can put 2 chicken thighs per corn. So I can cook 6 chicken thighs in one hanger and hang them off there. And it comes out pretty good that way.
Yeah, I've got a Weber kettle, so I started off on, and I found a company that is the Smoke Easy, I think.
What you talking
and
about?
And it turned it into a. It basically turned your Weber kettle into a Smoky Mountain, Weber Smoky Mountain. Yeah.
Right.
And they had a rib hanger that came with that package, and it didn't work, I guess, in the drum. But I've hung a slab of bacon in the kettle doing that, and that's about it. I mean, I just hang some ribs in there, and you're right. I mean, you can turn a slab of a baby backs and have the fat end at the fire end, and it's fine. It doesn't work.
All set over kettle every day.
I don't know. Kettle's hard to beat.
So you still cook on a kettle?
Nah, very rarely. I mean, I've got one in the backyard that I have, but I won I didn't win. I got a second in the rib cook-off kettle. And that was first time I won something. Yeah.
Dang. I guess the saying is true. It ain't what you cook on, how you cook it.
That's it.
Yeah. I think the first barbecue grill I had was the Old Smoky. I don't know if y'all have seen those, but it's kind of like a kettle, but it's smaller, I guess, or it's closer to the ground.
It's got like a silver base, silver top.
Yeah.
Kind of similar on their stack. Yeah, I've seen those.
And that's what my first grill that I bought for myself was that. And I cooked on that thing for a long time.
Yeah, that was my first that I inherited the Weber kettle Performer. It had the little table off to the side of it. My wife told me we had to go get a grill from somebody's house that they didn't want anymore. And we went out there and went to the backyard, and there was a brand new Weber Performer kettle.
Wow.
And they were like, you can just have it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I was like, you know what that is right there? She's like, I have no idea. I was like,
that's happy. Real. That's called happy.
Yeah.
No problems with that.
Yeah. I kind of started off on that, cooking the hot fast on the kettle.
So what kind of rules do you have as far as like PPE or safety that they govern when you're at a cook-off? Do you have like to have a sanitation station to wash your hands? Do you need hot water or What's the deal when you do a cook-off? What do you need or need to take with you?
That all is going to depend on what your sanctioning body that you're cooking at. I mainly do just middle South Georgia, and it's a fire extinguisher is basically all we need. I don't have water on my trailer. Am I unsafe with what I do? Absolutely not. I mean, I'm everything is sanitized. Everything's wiped down. I don't go for the chicken sitting out on the table and cross contamination and doing all that. It's like Frank just said, everything is disposable that I do. I open up trash bags and put it over my prep tables, and when I'm doing everything, and then it's wrapped up and it's thrown in the trash.
That makes sense. I didn't never think about that. That's cool. Yeah.
That's how I handle all that. I will do a bucket of a sanitizing solution it's just a granular sanitizer that I put in a bucket and put some water in that and just throw everything in it. But I have a bin that holds dirty dishes, and once they go in there, they pretty much stay in there. I don't get them back out. I'll get back to the house. And watch them a week later.
Want to get a break?
Yeah.
what's that smell coming out of the trailer?
don't worry about it.
Now, do you like cooking whole hog?
We have a good time doing it. I haven't cooked a whole lot of whole hog. My brother pretty much takes care of that. On the whole hog again. Him and another guy, they do the whole hog, and I do the ribs and the butts. On the pig, on the big pig jig is what we do.
Do you have a place that you get your meat sourced out of, or whatever you can buy, you just get?
I use whatever I can buy. I do a lot of pretty fresh. Our local Piggly Wigglies here carry pretty fresh. And I do that. Brisket, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go for the butcher shop or the Snake River. A9 or the Golds, if I'm going to cook. But I don't do Prairie Fresh Primes. We can't source the Prairie Fresh Primes here. I'm going to look at it before I buy it. So.
$200 for a brisket. Good grief.
Yeah, what sizes do y'all normally get? Do you have like a pound that you have to normally buy, like a 10 pounder for your pork butts or 15 pound brisket or not really?
No, I mean, with the KCBS, their rules, it's changed. So you can cook just money muscles on your pork now. And that's it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It used to be 4 pounds. You can't be less than 4 pounds on it. But now, I mean, everybody's cooking, you know, they're turning it into just collars. They're just cutting the money muscles off of it and cooking brisket. You know, it's a 15 to 18 pound brisket, and you can use kale. Yeah. I'm cooking a 7 pound piece of meat probably after trimming, 8 pound probably.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you normally just cook one brisket per competition, or do you have like a, you know,
that's a lot of board.
Yeah.
I did cook a prime I cooked a prime and I finished in the top 15 with a prime. Last year, in a case.
So that 8 pound brisket was taking you about 10 hours to cook on your drum? About 250?
No, about 5 hours completely.
Oh, 5 hours. Wow. Okay. So you're actually hotter than 250. You're 300 ish.
Yeah. It's never going below 300.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And yeah. Because I was thinking
it'll plump up. I don't know about that. But yeah, it'll pump up.
That one, you could debate that all day. Ask Myron on that one, buddy.
Yeah. It'll be that thick, and then you throw it in there, and about 300 degrees, and it'll just go to that.
fill up.
And, it'll just get color and wrap. And that's, I mean, yeah. I do that on everything. I don't cook the temp on anything. It is color and wrap and then to tenderness.
Yeah.
I don't look at a thermal pen, but I don't look at temp. It's all about how it feels going in and coming out.
Yeah.
You inject all your meats.
I inject, yeah, I everything.
12 to 15, you can't smoke less than 10. For some, but it's like I can't sit out all night. I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I mean, it's, you know, even, you know, the offset guys are cooking 3+ now and cooking, you know, they're not firing up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
And cooking the same thing. They're cooking the same way on the offsets. They are the drums.
So most it's people are starting to go to the more of the hot and fast type guys.
Do what?
So do you see most people at competitions now cooking hotter and faster than the low and slow, or?
I think the majority of them are.
How do you keep without using a baffle? How do you keep your temperatures?
Just choking it down.
Just keeping it.
Yeah, it's I started. I think a lot has to do with how you start too. I do not start with a chimney of. I don't start with chimneys. I start with two paper towels rolled up, and I dunk them in, and I stick them in used vegetable oil, and then I throw that on top of charcoal in the basket, and I light it, and then I let it go, and then I close it up, and it'll hit 300 in about 30 minutes.
Okay. So you said you got to cook with Frank at the Royal.
I cook with I sounds like a MacGyver. Yeah. I'm saving money by using used vegetable oil instead.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah.
Instead of going to buy, you know, lighter chunks from, it's a paper towel.
I've heard Jeremy Yoder talk about saving the tallow off of his butcher paper to light the next fire with it.
That, and it doesn't, you know, when I if I don't cook with baffles and I do a chimney and I dump it in there, then it gets away from me. Yeah. It's just that much heat going in there at one time and it's starting up. But if I just kind of gradually build it up to 300, then I can manage it. And I'm closing one damper off on the Super 55. It's closed completely. And I've literally got like that much open, and it'll run 300.
Oh, but you said you're not using a baffle, though.
So yeah. I'm not using a baffle. All
right. So you run.
Yeah, I finally had to open mine up because I had it choked off too much. And even with the both intakes wide open, I could barely get in the beginning like 225, 230. And then finally I opened it up, and man, it made a big difference once I opened the baffle up wider. It got more heat into the tank, and it started cooking better. But in the beginning, I just had it way too choked off, and it wasn't climbing at all.
Yeah. I've got a buddy that's got a cotton gin, and he's having trouble with that too. The grate is almost closed up so much. It's one of those CNC cut grates on there, and there's good airflow through those. And I don't know if that's it or not, but he's I told him to get rid of that grate, throw it in the trash, and get a I should have told him to throw away the whole thing, get a
and get a new drum. Yeah.
they won't do it though. But I did. I mean, I did turn a lot of them over to drums. I don't know if it was me or not, but I did very well when they first started. And
hey, at least on the cotton gin.
Do
I? I was gonna say on the cotton gin, he can open the little feed
the door
lid open, give him more air so it climbs up faster.
Yeah.
As far as cooking at the Royal. Was that your first time, or have you been to the Royal before?
No, that was my first time. Frank called me and said, "Are you going to the Royal?" And I started laughing. Why would I be going to the Royal, Frank? But he said he had an opportunity, and I said, I'll do it. I'll go. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll jump on that and go do that. So I had fun. Had a great time. Saw a lot, met a lot, and I'd love to go do it again.
I know a lot of and I'm sure a lot of people are the same way. Yeah, it's going to be crazy this year. Well, you know, mine was back when Netflix had Pitmasters, and that's when, you know, that's how I hadn't heard of none of them guys, you know, Myron and Tuffy, and I mean, that whole, you know, the older, I call them the older group that's out there. Do you have one particular person that you're like, kind of look up to as your, that's my barbecue guy or type thing?
Not really. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I were to say anybody, it would probably be my brother, getting to cook with him and doing that. And then with the drum, it would be Frank, and just seeing what Frank's doing and learning from Frank on that. I mean, because I wanted to get that draft master so bad at that point in time. He was, he pointed me in the direction to build my own smoker, build my own drum. It was all stuff that he had designed and put together and all. And I just got it from somewhere else and put it together and built it. So, and it worked. And then we got to a point in time, and my wife and I's what we're doing in our life, and I could get the Super 55. So
that's what I'm talking about. That's pretty cool.
So you have five of them, you said, now, and do you use them just because of the comp, or do you cook that much at home that you have five?
I got five for the, the original, that was put out. That Frank put out, and then I got four more to cook on, for the beta. Yeah, one's from the beta.
How many more are you going to be getting this year?
I don't know. I don't know about all that. Depends on how many I can sell. But yeah, I talked to Frank, and we kind of worked out a deal, and got some more. So
yeah, that's nice. Now I got two. I have three of them, but two that I use all the time, and I'm actually debating whether I want to buy a third one, another Super 55, just to have two of those, because those are my go-to pits for the most part, a drum when I cook at home. And when I have friends, a lot of friends come over, then I'll usually run two drums at the same time, and we'll cook on two drums usually. But I've still been wanting to really learn my offset, but man, that thing is a pain. It's a love-hate relationship. I love it sometimes, and then I hate it to where I want to sell it. So
what do you got?
It's a 120-gallon propane tank. Offset that I bought, like I said, some days it works beautiful, no problems, and then some days the fire is just a pain to keep where I want it.
I think that's my next thing that I want to do is an offset. I like the I think Frank, what were there, the 20x40s, the patio smokers, the hybrids, yeah, and all that he had going. I think that's about something that I want next. Yeah, back in the day, 20x40. Yep.
Yeah.
Something similar to that, something that's still on the back porch and kind of learn on that with a offset.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice sometimes just to sit there and watch the fire burn. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'll just burn wood just to burn wood out of it, just to mess around. I'm not even cooking. I'm just drinking beer and throwing logs on the offset. just to see how it runs. But it's I don't know, it's just kind of one of love hate kind of thing. I love it sometimes and then I hate it and I want to sell it and get something.
You find like the size of the wood that gets in there is a factor that contributes to it?
No, I've kind of figured out that 10 inch long splits about a coke size diameter is usually what it likes. So as long as they're about 10 inches coke size round, and that usually works for what I got. Or I don't know if you all have an academy out there, but they sell these boxes of a dry kiln firewood, and I can't think of the name of it. But those things run really good in that, but they're expensive. A box is like $20. Mm-hmm. And usually I'll need two boxes to cook something like, 8 hours or whatever. Nice. But when I buy the wood, I usually have to trim it down smaller because most of the splits around here are about 15 inches long and they're pretty big. So usually I can get two splits off one by splitting it into two pieces. And then I have to take the sawzall and cut part of it off. And sometimes I'll just use those pieces as wood chunks for my drums.
Gotcha.
Frank said you bought it. Have you done any mods on it?
No, I can't weld. So if I could weld, yes, I would have all kinds of stuff on it.
Do you like sports? You a sports fan?
Yeah, I'm a dogs fan.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get that pop in here. Well, I know somebody else.
Yeah, that's the dogs. Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's about it. I mean, it's I've lost interest in Braves and all that. I don't watch all that, and I'll watch I'll watch the NFL right now. It's
I wouldn't even put it. I was going to be honest. And if Georgia was losing bad, I wouldn't put it neither. Oh, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them, with Georgia this next year.
They've been leaving.
Yep.
A lot of stuff. Everybody's left Alabama now.
Do what?
So I think since Saban's left, I think everybody from Alabama's transferring.
Yeah, the portal just blew up.
I hate that whole portal thing. I miss the old, how they, you committed to somewhere. That's what you did. And it's changed now, but
yeah, it's all about the dollar.
Yeah. That's what runs everything.
I think my tongs would probably be the one tool that I use like 99% of the time to flip meat or grab meat out of the drum. I think that's what I use like all the time. That I would probably need a pair of tongs to cook with.
So the question is Frank's even asking, so for the replay, is what barbecue tool could you not cook without?
Honestly, a pair of the cotton gloves. I don't take them off. But now I have the good gloves, the ones that we got in the monthly, the MagnaChef, that's it. I've got those now, but the gloves. I mean, we struggled so much coming through with just putting gloves on and trying to grab meat off the grill or shredding meat and doing all that. And, or trying to put a box together, and it was just one of those things that was a game changer to put a pair of cotton gloves up under a pair of nitrile gloves, and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want.
The butter cutters are pretty good too.
Randy wants to know, what's your favorite charcoal to use?
Cheapest, maybe. I'll use the Royal Oak. and the good charcoal.
Are you more lump than
strictly lump? Strictly no. lump. No. No. I use lump in the Weber kettle too.
Hey, okay.
Go to pork rub. Sweet and savory, Blues Hog.
Now, are you a big spice fan? Not me neither. I don't like the I can't take heat. I'm all sweet.
I mean, the rub of, I use the jalapeno garlic, and I do that with the Heath Riles jalapeno garlic, and that'll give the about as much spice as I want on it. But on the rubs, it's the savoriness and the heat which I'm going for the rubs. And the sweets, the sauce.
Yeah, that's how we apply.
Black pepper's almost too much for me sometimes. No mustard base in South Georgia. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's tough. You think we could win the Royal with a 12-hour pecker brisket on an offset? Who's running it? Who's running the offset?
Jeremy.
I mean,
there you go. You think they could take it?
How about we cook two
and there see, you go.
See which one's the best?
I think you should just cook enough so you can take some home afterwards if Jeremy's cooking it.
Gone. How about Chud's? Frank said Chud may be coming too.
Dang. No, that's you know, good.
This is going to be like one tent. Everybody's going to be surrounded one tent.
Yeah. Y'all need to take video if that happens. Have some video.
That's on that. Yeah.
Frank, you gonna get that whole corner this year?
And Randy will make the tie. There you go. Got the whole corner.
That'll be awesome.
Well, that's gonna be.
Well, it was we cooked Sunday. So Saturday night, they came in at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was a party at the house that I stayed at. So it was it was fun.
Yeah.
Randy said, Big Slim's Barbecue will be aiming for the stage this year.
Awesome. Randy, the peach barbecue sauce was legit. It's good.
Oh yeah. Let me ask you that. Just while I got you, do you have any other kind of training? Because like you're plating, I've always it's like Gordon Ramsay. Me and my daughter sitting here laugh like it's like you got that thing down to a T.
I was culinary school.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Okay. Well, I figured it looked good. I was actually telling Ashley that we might need to throw some of the other guys a bone because it's like all your all's pictures are like something that you would see online. Nice. And it's like it's almost discouraging for everybody else that's just making something to put it up on the website. And I was like, man, we're gonna be discouraging everybody because all your pictures or everybody that's doing really good, their pictures are almost like perfect. It's like, man.
But it was I participated in when Heath Riles did his summer and his summer giveaways, and it was the same kind of concept or setup as this, and yeah, it was, I mean, some of the things that they put out there were just unreal that what they were doing, and it was like money was no factor on what they were putting out there. But I did a chicken one that I thought was pretty good on the Heath Riles one, but it didn't do so well. I liked it. That was good.
Well, even though I don't like green beans, those green beans wrapped in bacon, I swear I would eat them just because they look so good, even though I don't like.
Those green beans are good. I love those green beans. That's a recipe that I love.
So now the last thing we got to get out of you, yeah, Steve, that's the one right there, Steven. You know those green beans. Is what's the recipe for that chicken salad y'all sell? I need that.
it's So it's a all white meat, shredded chicken, finely minced celery, mayonnaise, and our secret seasoning. As rehearsed.
Yeah. Got to practice that one. How many times do you get asked that?
A lot. But our seasoning is there. I think the co-packers are the only ones that know it's in the seasoning. SPG, a little bit of SPG, a little celery salt, maybe. It's like one of those things that people ask if we're in those spices. Yes, that's it. Allergic to things, and it's if they're allergic to spices, then they can't have it because we don't know what's in there. We have no idea. But it's just chicken, mayonnaise, and celery, and seasoning, and that's it.
It's like Colonel Sanders. Got it locked up in the safe.
But all we do is cook tenders. That's all we use, is chicken tenders.
Oh, that's what you're making. Is this tender true? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well,
we go through a lot of chickens.
Anything else you got, Richard?
No, I'm good. But no, I was gonna say, I enjoy cooking burgers on my drum. Do you cook burgers a lot on yours?
I haven't recently. I built a drum that I sanded down, and it was just a shiny, almost chrome. And we cooked burgers on it one night, and I got in the basket, and I elevated the basket so it would sit right up on the grate, and I burned it up. I burnt the drum up. It got so hot, but it was fine. I mean, the drum was fine. It was just off colored and everything. But that was probably the last time I cooked burgers on the drum.
Oh, okay.
But it's I cook them on the Weber. It's just for me.
I don't know, for whatever reason, I think they come out really good on the drum smoker. They're smoky, and I don't know, they just, burgers for me on a drum, they come out really good. I really think they're real good.
But honestly, if I'm gonna cook a burger, my go-to is in a cast iron skillet.
Oh, okay.
I like some to do smash burgers on it.
Cast iron skillets.
Cast iron cooks everything good. That's the way grandma cooked.
90% of the steaks, they're going to be in a cast iron skillet.
Have you ever thought about doing any of those kind of competitions, the steak competitions?
We did. I've cooked three, I think. Two or three. First one was in Ashburn, Georgia, and I finished 11th in it. And then, we went to the shed the first year they had the SCA competition at the shed, and we walked the stage with turkey, and that was it. But it was that was a large time at the shed.
That was so
rough mornings on the way home from the shed.
I know we got, like I said, the pork steak, the competition. Let's see what does it. Last couple of briskets of mine on the drum have a crispy bottom. Are you running water pans or just flipping?
I do a water pan on the brisket. I do water pan and a flip, and I rotate briskets on that. And you can do that, and then you can kind of. It will the smoke will let you know when you need to start doing something, just so it'll get cloudy, or it'll start throwing off white smoke, and you either spin it or rotate it or flip it, or spin it, rotate, same thing, get it off that fire.
Yeah,
and I just run another grate over the heat shield. And I put a pan on top of that grate. I don't want to be there for 12 hours cooking a brisket on an offset.
I like looking at the fire too, but I can't sit that long.
That, and I do not have an offset, so that's.
I've done water pan. That's been 90 degrees every 45 minutes with fire on one side.
I can turn a better brisket out in the oven than an offset, so I'm good with that. We'll see what happens on that comment.
I cooked one in a crock pot. It was good. Yeah. It was good. It wasn't smoky, but it was good.
Yeah.
I'll do that with my pork butts now. I'll just cook them long enough to get smoke on them. Then I'll put them in the crock pot, let them cook the rest where I ain't got to fool with it. You know.
Yeah, the burnt ends, I just.
All right, Frank. We're about Frank. To be
wrapping. The burnt ends I did on the smoker and then wrapped them and then they went in the oven.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go, Dale. I know it's been over an hour. We appreciate it.